Thanks for joining us for Season 6 of the ACED IT Podcast. ACED IT is brought to you via the Justice Community Opioid Innovation Network, or JCOIN, with funding from the National Institute on Drug Abuse. I'm Danielle Rudes, your host, coming to you from Sam Houston State University in Texas and bringing you amazing science from today's top scholars and researchers in easy-to-understand language. The theme of Season 6 is diversity, equity, and inclusivity within the justice and health research field. I can't wait to share this season with you. Thanks for listening. Now, let's get started. In this episode, let's spend some time talking about one of the newer realities facing public health, COVID-19. The COVID-19 pandemic caused an immense public health crisis. The opioid epidemic has been going on since before COVID, but it has become more difficult to address because of COVID and may have made racial and socioeconomic disparities in access to treatment even worse. On top of this, those with a substance use disorder or SUD have an increased risk of getting COVID, and individuals who are Black with an opioid use disorder and COVID have an increased risk of hospitalization and mortality. The racial disparities in access to medications for opioid use disorder, or MOUD, and the increasing rate of opioid overdoses in Black communities has been consistently overlooked by researchers and the media alike. This is something that Max Tycho from Yale School of Medicine and the Center for Emergency Care and Policy Research's Perelman School of Medicine and the University of Pennsylvania talks about in the work we're covering on today's episode. In a paper that Tycho wrote for the Journal of Substance Abuse Treatment, he describes the history, pre-COVID, of disparities in access to opioid agonist therapies, or MOUD, in the United States. There are three medications that are popular and FDA approved as treatments for OUD. These include methadone, buprenorphine, and naltrexone. Both methadone and buprenorphine have shown to decrease mortality from OUD. Most patients go to certified opioid treatment programs to take their methadone under supervision as it is federally regulated. In some cases, patients can get a multi-day supply of methadone known as take-home. Buprenorphine is also federally regulated, but patients taking this medication can receive it through office-based therapy with waivered providers who then send the prescription to a pharmacy for the patient to pick up. The broader use of these medications has improved the treatment of opioid use disorder because they are evidence-based treatments. That means rigorous scientific studies show that they work. As with other aspects of the medical field, however, there is a history of differential marketing and access based on race. Methadone may be the most suitable treatment option for some people, like those who have a severe OUD that requires a high dose of the opioid agonist, but not everyone prefers methadone as a treatment option. A lot of patients prefer buprenorphine because they argue it allows them more freedom and normalcy in their daily lives. They even refer to methadone as, quote, liquid shackles, unquote. Sometimes, because of the constant need to go to the methadone treatment provider to receive their dose. The preferred option that allows more freedom, though, is also the one that is primarily accessible to white people. We have all experienced the negative effects of COVID-19 in relation to healthcare. A lot of doctors during this time switched to only telemedicine or reduced in-person health visits by a lot. Patients who were receiving MOUD felt this shift as well. In response to the change to mostly telemedicine in the Substance Abuse and Mental Health Services Administration, or SAMHSA, they temporarily revised the guidelines for the provision of methadone, the liquid shackles that I mentioned. These new guidelines allowed patients to have a 14 to 28 day take-home supply depending on their risk profile. There were variations across states, though, and the guidelines did not get rid of the need for in-person patient assessments before initiating methadone. While allowing patients a take-home supply of methadone was helpful and necessary during the pandemic, Tycho points out that there was also serious risk that came with it. The risk of patients and their family members overdosing. The dose is incredibly important for methadone, especially in the first month of its use. Buprenorphine, however, has a lower risk of overdose, and it can be prescribed as well as initiated through telemedicine. No in-person visits are necessary. This means patients who were prescribed buprenorphine for their MOUD had a reduced chance of their access being disrupted. As Tycho notes, there was an increase in mental health or substance use disorder visits during COVID, but this was only true for white patients. It is true that COVID disrupted all of our lives, especially the lives of those seeking MOUD. However, opportunities also arose from this new normal. One of these opportunities was the chance to expand access to buprenorphine. In line with that, there was also an opportunity to take away some of the burden that comes from the use of methadone. Both of these opportunities can reduce racial disparities in access to MOUD, although they certainly do not solve the challenges completely. As with any good study or article, the author, Tycho, lists three specific principles for OUD treatment reform in the context of COVID that address racial disparities in treatment. These are things that those in the field can help to accomplish. First, he suggests expanding the workforce of providers who can prescribe buprenorphine. As you may know, currently there is a requirement of an extra course required for providers to be able to prescribe this medication. Lifting this requirement can allow those providers who do not have time to take the course the ability to prescribe buprenorphine to patients. Second, patients who are newly diagnosed with opioid use disorder must be offered the full range of MOUD options. This gives them a choice of which treatment medication they would like to receive. This is not specific to any one type of patient either. Those who are incarcerated or those individuals being supervised on parole need to be given the same options, that is, all the options as well, especially because access to MOUD in carceral facilities is low. Third, local health departments and opioid treatment programs should organize home deliveries for patients who use methadone. This is something that has already been put into place in New York City, and there is evidence from this effort showing that it is feasible. This gives access to the medication for a wider range of people, like those who have disabilities, limited transportation, or other responsibilities that prevent them from being able to leave home and receive their medication. A long-term version of this solution is to change policies so that methadone is available in pharmacies, something that is already true in Canada. Changing this policy would reduce the rural-urban disparities in access and make methadone more accessible to people. Okay, so let me just conclude this episode, but I want to do it in the same way that the author did, with their call to action. Using telemedicine to prescribe and initiate buprenorphine is a step in the right direction, but there is so much more to do. The three principles for treatment reform listed previously are important steps in reducing racial and socioeconomic disparities in access to MOUD, but we also need to get rid of systems that stigmatize opioid use disorder and people who use drugs. We were lucky in some ways that COVID brought about some changes. But just because they were induced by a pandemic does not mean that they should be momentary. Providers and treatment programs need to expand the changes more to continue to create better access for everyone. Drug policies in the United States have continuously failed to address the disparities in access to evidence-based treatments. Policymakers and health systems have to enact policies that successfully fight the opioid epidemic and help individuals in need of treatment and assistance and bring equity to treatment access and patient outcomes. Thanks for tuning in to ACEDIT, where we translate science into sense. You can find ACEDIT anywhere you listen to podcasts and check out our other offerings on JTEC. That's www.jcoinctc.org/
JTEC. That's J-T-E-C. We consider it our mission to help everyone learn. On JTEC, you'll find e-learning courses, webinars, and other trainings, all geared to help you learn about justice and health research and research methods quickly and easily. Special shout out here to George Mason University, home of the Coordination and Translation Center for JCOIN, Sam Houston State University, and National Institute on Drug Abuse and the National Institute of Health. Also, if you'd like us to break down some research that you've read or produced in a future episode of the podcast, send it to me at droods, R-U-D-E-S, at shsu.edu. See you next time on ACED It.